Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today, barbecue is hot. Competitions are flourishing. Television shows abound. Pitmasters are now celebrities. And at the most popular barbecue joints, customers will wait online for up to hours for their fix of smoked meats. The seventh year of the Rock and Ribs Festival gets underway in downtown Tulsa today, featuring five award-winning pitmasters who will compete today and later judge 10 backyard chefs' ribs themselves. 12 regional bands will be performing throughout the weekend, with food and music running 11 to 11 today, Friday, and Saturday, and then 11 to 3 Sunday at 3rd and Denver, across from the BOK Center. Unlike some barbecue cook-offs, the pitmasters for Rock and Ribs will be turning out cases of ribs, brisket, pork butts, and chicken for festival goers to sample. My guests today are Pitmaster Mark Grant of Porky Chicks Barbecue Team from Fayetteville, Arkansas, along with SMG Tulsa's Eric Schleicher, which puts on the Rock and Ribs Festival. Schleicher will give us an overview of the weekend, while Grant will share some of his tips and his own story as a pitmaster, which keeps him traveling across the country over half the year to barbecue festivals and competitions. They're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. Mark and Eric, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Mark Grant, let's start with you. You do these competitions and big, huge cook-offs about half the year. And as anybody who is a pit master knows, there's been a huge explosion in the popularity of barbecue. You can't turn on a cable channel without seeing a show about a barbecue competition or somebody sharing their secrets. What do you attribute that to? Do you think that's just sort of the whole explosion of people interested in food and cooking, or something special?
I think with barbecue, the main thing that everybody can relate to is family time. And family time, usually there's barbecue involved. You know, everybody has a backyard cookout. Everybody has the weekend get-togethers, and it always seems to this time of the year, from April to October, seems to be having a big explosion as far as, you know, hey, we can relate to good barbecue. So therefore, everybody wants to try something new. They want to see the guy down the street. Well, hey, I wonder what his tastes like. And you know, if you've ever been involved in barbecue, that's kind of a friendship thing, and everyone really enjoys sharing their barbecue with someone. And you know, now it's just exploded. Everyone in the country is basically doing a huge barbecue push. You know, you see more barbecue restaurants, you see more of these barbecue competitions. The events like the one we're doing downtown this weekend, they're all over the country. I do it from April to October, pretty much every weekend.
Yeah, and I think you hit up on something, the idea that this is something, you know, a fancy food technique you might watch, but you would never attempt it. But at one point or another, whether it's flipping burgers or cooking ribs or cooking brisket or pulled pork, that's something you might do in the course of a summer. And learning how to do it better, especially with the investment of time involved, because if you're doing it right, you're taking some time. I suppose that's a big part of it too.
Oh yeah, I mean, you figure you put on a pork butt or a brisket. It's a 12 to 14 hour process. We're not talking just going out and throwing open the gas grill and cooking a few burgers and stuff. You know, a lot of people attribute barbecue to that, which that is part of barbecue. But at the same time, you know, deep down, when you really get serious about barbecue, it's all about low and slow, you know, just kind of a good technique. Everyone says that. So that's the way it starts.
Now, tell me about your team, Porky Chicks. So you're based out of Fayetteville?
Yeah, we're based out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. We've been doing this for 10 years on the road. Basically, I took in, started the company, me and my wife, 10 years ago, and just took off from there. I'd done competitions and stuff before that. That's how I got interested in it in the mid to late 90s, and did a few competitions, one here and there, and you know, then you just get the craze. You just want to do better and better and better. And now we have a traveling barbecue team that basically visits at least 26 cities a year and competes in every one of them, just about.
Now, how did you get interested? Were you cooking barbecue since you were a kid, or did you? When did you really get serious about it? 10 years ago?
No, you know, like I say, it was a family deal. You know, you attribute it to family get-togethers, weekends, you know, you have fun, and then one thing leads to another. First, you're cooking hamburgers, then you're cooking steaks, and then everybody's like, oh, you just try a brisket, let's try a pork butt, you know, let's try some chicken, let's do this or that, and the next thing you know, you're just having to try new things, and then, you know, trial and error, that's the main thing.
Is there a big learning curve to getting that consistent, really, really good barbecue?
You know, there is. There's a learning curve. You know, there's a lot more error than there is in than trial, I guess is what I should say. Because at the time that you're doing this, you know, you're basically back when I started in the mid-90s, there wasn't a whole lot of education as far as barbecue, and it was a super secretive way of doing things. You know, people weren't too forthcoming on information, how to cook, what temperatures to cook at. You know, everybody's like, oh, this is my recipe, and no one gets it, which it is still now in a way, but at the same time, you know, people are more forthcoming about, hey, you know,
when TV shows come and offer you money, it
opens up the world to everything. When money talks is what a lot of people say. So that's the way things got around. You know, I started out with a wood smoker, solid wood, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you only use hickory, you only use hickory, which I do use hickory, but you don't use all hickory. You have to mix it up, you know, put some oak, put some cherry, some pecan or something in it. That's my first competition I actually won was using pecan wood. So that really makes it, I want to go back to that a lot more than maybe I should sometimes, because pecan's a little real light wood compared to a lot of people like a little harsher of a taste.
Yeah. And when, you know, and that's the other thing is you have to figure out who you're cooking for too, because as you well know, every section of the country has its own little variations on barbecue. And if you go to North Carolina with something that works in say Kansas City or Oklahoma, it ain't going to do well.
You know, this year, talking about that, this year, basically I've came up with a recipe that I've been using. I've done 24 shows so far this year. I've either placed or won every show.
Wow.
And I went as far west as Arizona, as far east as Virginia and the Carolinas, as far north as Canada, and basically I've won in every area. So it's one of those things that I think this year has just hit, you know. I was just in Burlington, Ontario, Canada last weekend, and Labor Day weekend, and did the largest rib fest up there, and first time ever in Canada, period. So I had no idea what their flavor profile would be, just like you were talking about. So I said, you know what? I'm going to cook it the way I've been doing all year long, roll the dice and see what happens. And we won best ribs in Canada. So
do you think that's not a taste that they're usually used to seeing? Or do you think you've just found the right balance between all these various regional styles? Because regional styles vary greatly, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go to Memphis and, you know, you're a totally dry rub. You go to the Carolinas, you're more of a mustard vinegar based sauce. You go to Kansas City and up north, and you're more of a sweet based sauce. So it just depends on the area you're in. So basically, I just kind of took them all three together, mixed them up, and you know, everybody says, "What kind of barbecue do you have?" And I say, "We have an in between. We're in between, halfway in between Memphis and Kansas City." So we just call ourselves the in-between style.
Now, is there an Arkansas style of barbecue? Because I always think Oklahoma has its own little variation. We're maybe a little sweeter than Kansas City. It's a very sweet sauce. I wonder, is there a regional variation for Arkansas?
You know, like I say, I think it's just you get a lot of people that are closer to Memphis, they like it more of the dry style. You get people that
closer
are
closer to Kansas City.
Closer to Kansas City, they like a little more sauce. So it's just, I think it's just a personal preference. You know, you get a little bit of everything in every area you go to. So, like I say, I was in Canada last week, and theirs is completely different. That's why when I decided to cook it the way I do down here, and all of a sudden they call my name first place, I was kind of shocked. But at the same time, you know, my technique that I use and the flavor profile I use is probably more different than most people will taste. It's either, I think you're going to love it or hate it. You know, it's, there's not an in between. It's so different that, you know, it's a, applewood, honey glaze that we do on them. And it's really a unique profile as far as being able
Now, when I hear that, is it like a sticky rib?
Yes, our ribs are very sticky. Mm-hmm. We do sauce them. We don't actually baste them. We cook them, then we grill them and baste them, just glaze them on the grill. That's how we do them. So they're actually a dry rub rib, the Memphis style. Mm-hmm. Pull them out of the smoker, put them on the grill. Then we Kansas City style them. That's why I say we're in between, you know. We do mop them on the grill, but, it's a very short process on the grill. There's not a lot of the charred barbecue sauce taste that you'll see a lot of times on a basted rib.
Right.
I'm really not crazy about that. And I found a lot of other people really aren't either. You know, they want the sauce, but they don't want the char.
Now, you talked about your flavor profile, and you always hear pitmasters talk about their flavor profile. What is a flavor profile? Is it just sort of the things you just described, this idea of, you know, you got this little apple, wood, smoke flavor, the glaze that you put on it? Is that...
Yeah, I mean, it's a little hot, it's a little sweet, it's a little tangy. You know, some people, you go towards the Carolinas, you know, you're going to get a lot of tang.
Yeah, a lot of tang, a little mustard, yeah.
You're going to go towards Kansas City, you're going to get a lot of the sweet. Memphis, you're going to get more of the heat. So,
Texas, you'll also get a sort of different spicy tang,
And exactly, Texas is more of a harsher,
right?
You know, almost a bitter type barbecue, so... It's one of those things. We did a event in Waco this year, and we won Best Ribs down there, People's Choice Best Ribs, and got second in Critics' Choice. So our profile worked down there this year also.
All right. My other guest today is Eric Schleicher of SMG Tulsa, which has put on this event for the last couple of years. What was the expectations when SMG first did this event a few years ago?
Yeah, we started this event 7 years ago, and it has taken off. We didn't really know what to expect. It was something that we want to try. We have a special events department that they put on all of our special events throughout the year. We have about six of them. And they kind of are taking risks and trying new things all the time. And so Rib Cribs Rockin' Rib Fest and our Whiskey Well event, which is hosted this weekend, was something new 7 years ago, and they haven't looked back since. It's grown every single year. The barbecue is amazing every year, and the amount of guests has tremendously grown each year.
Yeah. Now, the festival runs 11 to 11 today, tomorrow, and Saturday, 11 to 3 Sunday at 3rd and Denver. My guests today are Mark Grant of Porky Chicks of Fayetteville, Arkansas, one of, I think, five pit masters who are competing but also serving everybody. So you're going to do a lot of food this weekend, right? How many ribs, racks of ribs? Do you have more than ribs, or are you just doing ribs?
Yes, we have ribs, we have pulled pork, we have brisket, and we have chicken also.
Yeah. How much do you think you're going to do this weekend? Do you have any idea?
We're just kind of, a lot of it has to do with the weather. You know, the nicer the weather, the more we're going to do, obviously. And, you know, we have a food company that basically will supply us whatever we need.
Yeah. Now, Eric, what about the special events along with the music? You have music. When does the music start? At 11 in the morning?
Yeah, it's a jam-packed weekend between the Rib Festival and Whiskey Well, which is hosted on Friday and Saturday for two sessions. We also have live music. We have 12 regional bands that play throughout the entire weekend. Leading up to Vertical Horizon is playing a free show Saturday at 9:30 p.m. But also we have fireworks. We have everything for families to come out, enjoy the weekend. We'll have a jumbo screen with football playing all weekend, so you won't miss any of your games. And we're looking forward to great weather, great barbecue, and a fun time.
Now you have a competition for the Pitmasters today, correct?
That's correct. We have a competition for not only the Pitmasters, but we also have...
The Backyard Barbecuer, yeah.
The Knappold's Boomtown Rib-Off. And what that is 10 local backyard barbecue people.
These are all amateurs, right?
All amateurs.
No restaurants, no teams.
No restaurants.
No teams.
Yeah. No teams. Just from their backyard to our competition. So our Pitmasters will be judging that. And hopefully one lucky winner will come out on top.
No. And then the Whiskey Well, which you mentioned a couple times, what is that exactly? You've got a bunch of distillers that are coming in, and I assume it'll be very controlled samples, so we don't...
It is controlled samples, so there's no overpouring. But yes, it is Friday and Saturday, two sessions each day. That is a ticketed event, and it's $25 per ticket. and those can be bought at getsaucedtulsa.com. And you get to sample about 15 to 20 whiskey samples in each session, and it's over across 2 days. So you get to try a huge variety.
Yeah, and I think there's completely different distillers from Friday to Saturday.
There are. The yeah. distillers all change, so even if you come Friday, you're not going to get to sample the same things on Saturday.
Now, Mark, you're going to be judging these amateur rib cookers this evening. Can you talk about some of the rookie mistakes that you see guys that are starting out to do, you know, really good Q? What are some of the rookie mistakes people usually make? Maybe some of you made when you were first learning.
I think one of the biggest rookie mistakes that a lot of guys make, they overcook their ribs. I mean, basically a rib that's fallen off the bone is overcooked. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want it chewy, but at the same time, when you can just pick up the bone and wiggle it and it comes out, it's overcooked. You know, you need to.
It's still good, though.
It is good. But at the same time of being good, you know, you want some more texture to your meat.
Right.
And I think that's one of the main things that a lot of people do. A lot of guys and gals also, they put too much smoke. You mm-hmm. know, they want to smoke it. And that's good. But at the end of the day, you can only take so much smoke.
Right. Right. So what are the tips around that to keep the ribs from falling off the bone? Are you just checking your temperature more, or is there some techniques? Like, I know a lot of people wrap them after a couple hours, and does that slow the process down, or what?
Well, I don't know if the wrapping actually slows the process down. It probably takes away from the smoke, especially mm-hmm. if you're using a wood smoker or a charcoal smoker. You know, yeah. you're obviously going to have to add some heat to that sometime. A lot of them aren't that controlled as far as being able to maintain the heat for a four-hour period. Another thing is a lot of people use a charcoal, and it'll have direct heat right up onto your product. You know, that's a big no-no. That dries it out, and that will definitely make it a not very good product pretty quick. So I think that's some of the small things. As far as the smoke, me personally, I use a white oak on my stick smoker because it's less harsh. Make sure your wood is good and dry, except for the one you want to have the flavor of your meat. You know, if you want a hickory flavor, then obviously you want to soak your hickory wood. That way it gives off some more flavor. But you don't want to soak your oak wood and whatever else you're putting in there also, because then it's just going to create more of that smoke, and it will definitely give it the way too much smoke.
How much time when now I know you're using are you using gas and pellets for
it's again? gas and with wood assist, basically.
Yeah. When you're actually coming up with that that smoke profile that you want for your, how much experimentation did you do to sort of find that good happy medium? I mean, I think you said at one point you started with hickory, then you went to you know, now you're using oak, maybe some pecan from time to time. How much time did you spend trying to figure that out?
Well, the thing of it is that everyone, even the people that are cooking, may have their own flavor profile as far as, boy, I really like a lot of smoke. I like a little bit of smoke. So basically, in my end of it, since we're serving to the public, we have to try to basically figure out what does the public want. You know, how much smoke does the public want? How much smoke do they not want? A lot of feedback, a lot of asking people what they think, you know, hey, mm-hmm. do you like this? Do you not mm-hmm. like this? Because just because I like it don't necessarily mean you're going to like it.
That's true. Well, now, one of the things, the competition circuit you go on is a little different than I think what you see a lot of times on the television shows, because they're doing like one box, these sort of one rack of ribs, that sort of thing. You're doing like huge numbers when you're competing, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, not only are we competing on a very high level, but you know, I'm not knocking anyone that does the circuits or anything like yeah. that, the KCBS or anything. But you know, they're cooking three racks of ribs a day or four racks of ribs a day, one or two pork butts, one or two briskets. You know, we're cooking cases of ribs. You know, hundreds of racks of ribs a day. You know, four or five cases of pork butts, four or five cases of brisket. So basically we have to be consistent throughout. You know, we can't rely on just that three or four racks of ribs that we can really sit and babysit the whole day. You know, we have to have a very good product for the public and for everyone to come up also.
And you're also turning in the very best of those three racks of ribs too.
Oh yeah, that's
you're being
definite,
very choosy,
you know,
about it. So what's the key to getting that consistency in that sort of volume?
Basically, you know, your rubs, you want your rub to be the same, you know, as far as the mixture every time. We want to make sure we're same heat. You know, we have very consistent cookers. They're digitally programmed, so basically there's no fail safe as far as that goes. You know, ribs cook 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours, you go take them off, there's not a whole lot of error in that factor. So it's a lot better than the normal, you know, wood stick smoker that
you're always dealing with the variance in temperature, and you're either adding wood or figuring out ways to cool it off the whole time you're doing the cue.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're taking and you know, you put three sticks of wood in and all of a sudden your temperature goes from 225 to 325. Oh no, we got to shut it down, and trying to shut it down, cool it back off, you know, to keep that consistency. That way you do have the product as far as that goes.
Well, as an amateur cure myself, I know the biggest, hardest part for me is to leave those butts and briskets on the enough time to get to that really high temperature you want, say on brisket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell you, it tastes good at 180 and 190 as well as 195 and 200.
We have a little saying, if you're looking, it ain't cooking. So keep the lid closed and leave it alone. That's the main thing.
All right. Well, looking forward to sampling your queue this weekend, along with four other master pit masters that'll be cooking. When is the competition for the pit masters, Eric?
The competition for the pit masters starts today.
Uh huh. Does it go over a couple of days, or is it just a 1 day thing? Or
it's a like a 3-segment thing. It starts today, I believe, at 2 o'clock, and then it goes 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and they do like three different ways that they're judging, and then I believe they announce on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we hope a lot of people come out to the Rock and Rib Festival, which gets underway. It's already underway and running till 11 tonight, both Friday and Saturday, 11 to 11 and 11 to 3 on Sunday at 3rd and Denver across from the BOK Center.
Yeah, admission is free, so come on out, start having lunch today, and
that's right,
enjoy the weekend outside.
All right. Well, Mark and Eric, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Barbecue pitmaster Mark Grant of Porky Chicks of Fayetteville, Arkansas, along with Eric Schleicher of SMG Tulsa, talking about the upcoming Rock and Rib Festival, which is underway today through Sunday at 3rd and Denver across from the BOK Center. Hours are 11 to 11 today, Friday and Saturday, 11 to 3 Sunday. Will include barbecue competitions for backyard barbecuers and for the professional pitmasters today, whiskey tastings on Friday and Saturday, and 12 regional bands performing throughout the festival. For more information on the festival, visit GetSaucedTulsa.com. Listening to Studio Tulsa, here's the comments of Janet Pearson.
The turbulent decade of the 60s was coming to an end. I was in high school, wondering on a daily basis what the adult world had in store for me. I was, after all, just a few short years away from being on my own. Of course, I knew my parents and other family and friends would help guide me along that uncertain path. But for many young people, most, I think, another special person will play an influential, perhaps even pivotal role in how their lives unfold. That was certainly true for me, as well as countless other students who had the good fortune to study English literature under the legendary Paul Dykes. Mr. Dykes, I can't call him anything but Mr. Dykes. Taught English and journalism at Memorial High School in the 60s and 70s, before moving on to Booker T. Washington, where he finished out his teaching career. In retrospect, I think it's fair to say that many of us teenage literati back then were pretty full of ourselves. But that was no problem for the seasoned educator. He'd seen and heard that kind of thing many times before, and he had a knack for bringing us back down to earth, in a kindly and illuminating way, of course. When we wanted to study the Beatles' contribution to literature in a senior seminar class, he enthusiastically acquiesced. And you know what? We actually learned a lot about literature. When way too many of us seniors applied to be on the school newspaper staff, Mr. Dykes came up with a novel, unprecedented idea. Rather than turn away many of those who applied, he created two separate newspaper staffs, and we alternated putting out the school paper. Our class may have had the only competing newspapers in the history of Tulsa Public Schools. It could not have been much fun for him to babysit us seniors late into the evening as we dawdled over putting out the paper, but he patiently sat by until we had a finished product, no matter how long we managed to drag out the process. From Shakespeare to the Romantic poets, from Coleridge to Vonnegut, Mr. Dykes took us on a grand tour through a rich and memorable and diverse assortment of literary masterpieces. Even today, more than 40 years later, I vividly remember many classroom discussions and epiphanies. Upon graduation, I was torn over which path to pursue, literature or journalism, and again he helped guide me in his gentle and masterful way. And more than 40 years later, upon the occasion of my retirement from the newspaper business, he was there again, with a surprise phone call congratulating me on a long and successful career and wishing me well in the future. We talked about meeting for lunch and agreed to get together in the not-too-distant future. Weeks passed, then months. I kept meaning to get back in touch, but time has a way of passing relentlessly, and for so many reasons it didn't happen. Recently, I finally decided to pick up the phone and make those lunch plans, but that very day, I learned I was too late. He had passed away days earlier. I'll never get the chance now to tell him how important he was in my life, how much of a role he played in my career, or any of those other things he meant to me. I should have known better than to wait so long. I suppose I shouldn't be surprised that such an extraordinary teacher is still teaching me lessons even after his passing. I hope it's a lesson to others, too. When I learned he had died, my mind was inundated with memories from those long ago days. A fitting stanza from Hamlet flitted across my mind. Now cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince. And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. Good night, Mr. Dykes.
Janet Pearson is a former editorial writer and columnist for the Tulsa World and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you miss one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime. You can search our archives at studiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.